He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Especially given the way he left, where he just takes a press conference before a game and tells everybody, I'm not going to be there for next year. And then after that, remember, he went on ESPN and he went on that long tirade about the Lakers and how, called Rob a snake and all that stuff. I'm Magic Johnson, great player, icon, one of LA's truest stars. However, when it comes to his impact on the Lakers as a GM and since, I'm good. I'm good on complimenting him for anything. But anyway, back to the Rob thing. The Lakers essentially, not only did they, in trading for Luka Doncic, make themselves immediate title contenders this season, but then on top of it, they didn't give up everything that they needed to. They absolutely swindled the Mavericks. And now people are kind of using that as like reason that that Rob can't win the award because Nico Harrison clearly bleeped up. Okay. All right. Still, that's the point. And the fact that Rob was able to convince Nico to, all right, just keep this between us. We got to get this done together. Don't worry about talking to other teams. Also, by the way, I can't throw everything into the middle of the table here in these negotiations because we aren't sure that Luka's actually going to stick around. We couldn't talk to him. at the end of the day, are we awarding executives for making franchise-altering moves, or are we nerding out because of asset hoarding? If we only care about the latter, then yeah, great. Sam Presti is the best GM who has ever existed because nobody has ever hoarded the number of picks that he has. He also hasn't won shit. He's the guy who traded away James Harden. He's the guy who is steering the ship here for the Oklahoma City Thunder. He's the guy whose major move at the deadline was to trade for Daniel Theiss and waive him so that he could go to Germany, ironically also to get another pick. Thus, making it, I think, keeping it competitive between the Thunder and the rest of these teams. If they don't win a championship this year and Sam Presti didn't pull the trigger on even a Cam Johnson trade, given the number of picks that they have to work with, I'm sorry. That's a giant screw up. That's a giant missed opportunity that if I was a Thunder fan, I'd be pretty pissed about. That's great that you have this crazy cachet or cache of picks that you can keep going back to and all that stuff. But if you never use them, and he literally has too many picks to be able to draft players, eventually he's going to have to cut really good talent or let talent walk because he has too many picks to be able to use all of them. So yeah, I understand. I also think Sam Presti is a very good executive, but there was the piece for The Athletic where all these executives came together and decided that Sam Presti is the best executive, not just in the NBA, but in all of American sports. Right after Andrew Friedman had just won a World Series, can we let a guy win something before we just consider him God of sports? I don't think he should win Executive of the Year this year. The most important trade he ever made was for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. That wasn't this year. What are we supposed to do? Are we crediting Sam Presti for prior moves? Because if so, then any number of these guys have better cases for it. So in terms of job done this year, the Lakers have been able to trade for Luka Doncic, and they have traded for Dorian Finney-Smith. Two hugely impactful trades. And they kind of sort of backed out of the Mark Williams trade and probably really helped themselves by doing so. So still, if you're just looking at wins and losses on a season, trading for Luka Doncic and not seeing or not trading Reeves in the deal, not having to trade every pick that you have from now to kingdom come. Yes, you traded Anthony Davis, and yes, you traded Max Christie. But at the end of the day, you got Luka Doncic, who is a top two-ish player, top two to three player in the NBA, without giving up everything, given some of the packages that have gone out there for other top talent who aren't nearly as impactful as Luka. If that isn't executive of the year, I don't know what is. And if we're sitting here saying, like, well, it doesn't count because of X, Y, or Z, then...
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You know, then none of these awards matter, and they don't because of the track record or something. Coach of the Year doesn't matter because Greg Popovich and Phil Jackson, I think, have a combined two, maybe a couple more, and both of those guys have been in the league for 30 something combined years, 30 plus combined years. MVP can't be all that important because LeBron hasn't won it all the time. Kobe and Shaq have as many MVPs between them as Steve Nash does by himself. So MVP is worthless. Sixth man of the year is which player scores the most off of the bench. Okay. All right. Doesn't matter who is more impactful. Cool. All right. Defensive player of the year has basically, you know, Anthony Davis hasn't won in a defensive player of the year. Meanwhile, every time he played against Jaren Jackson Jr., who was defensive player of the year, he shoved him in a locker. Every time Rudy Gobert won his defensive players of the year, eventually that fan base that he was playing for was kind of like, oh, I don't really feel all that comfortable with him being out there. So, yeah, I mean, I don't particularly care about NBA awards, but and I think this is a good example why. I think the awards are such a farce because we basically have this goalpost that we get to move wherever we want to move it based on how much we like somebody or how much we like this team. It's so funny how Alex Caruso just miraculously becomes a first team all NBA defender when the Lakers had been telling you guys, yeah, he's that good. While he was a Laker, he finally gets that recognition when he goes to Chicago. So, yeah, and by the way, this isn't even me saying I think Rob Pelinka is the best executive in the sport. I think Sam Presti is the best executive in the sport. But that's a different conversation than best executive in the sport and executive who had the best year. Executive who had the best year, it like that. If that's how you're going to award MVP, if that's how you're going to award Coach of the Year, if that's how you're going to do all these other ones, then you got to be consistent and at least hand out that award that way with this one. But we can't even be consistent. So, yeah, like he's not going to win it. And the biggest reason he's not going to win it, like I said on Twitter earlier today, is because it's voted on by other executives, which is super weird. I don't understand why players' money gets impacted by media votes and all that stuff, and executives don't get held to that same standard. But in this case, these other executives, you know, have such hard-ons for asset hoarding that's what they're most focused on, when the whole point of all of this is to go out and get hope that you the whole point in hoarding those assets and hoarding draft picks is so that maybe you can use one of those draft picks. The whole point of tanking is to be able to get somebody like Luka. The Lakers did get somebody like Luka. They got somebody like Anthony Davis. And now twice they have this specific hardware to show for it when they have the most important hardware to show for the Anthony Davis thing. And I just don't know what the point, I just don't know what the point of any of these awards are. If we can't even be consistent in the stupidity that we hand them out. Boy, I don't think I'm going to have too much room here to answer all of your guys' questions. I do have a super comment, so I'll go ahead and start with that one. Fuck Washington! It comes in from Amon Brar, who writes, "What's up, Anthony? Shams went on a pod recently and said the Lakers and Mavs were talking a different trade, and ultimately the player wasn't involved. Do you know what the player/trade was?" It could be anything. It could be anything from I'd have to hear on the pod what it was. Oh, it might have been the pod where he talked about breaking the trade, the Luka trade. I'd have to hear it and get a sense of maybe what he's talking about to be able to look into it. I do believe the Lakers had some interest in like Gafford briefly. But I don't know that ever went anywhere. Once the Luka thing became a possibility, that was the only thing that the Lakers were ever focused on. And until that had some kind of a resolution, any talks between the Lakers and Mavericks just kind of were put on the back burner. So, I'll look into it, Amon, who that might've been about, but I believe just off the top of my head, it's Gafford. Because the Mavericks eventually going to have to pay Lively, and you have Gafford, and then you had Kleba, who now Kleba's contract comes off of the books after next season, so you have that benefit too, but I believe that there was some talks for the Lakers to land Gafford and for the Mavericks to balance out their roster a little bit. But once Luka became a talking point, that was the only conversation that the Lakers and Mavericks were having. All right. Let's go. I'll go and try to find that pod and hear what Sean's was talking about there. But as it stands right now, I believe it was Gafford, if it was anybody. All right. Let's go with, I'm just going to look. I'm quickly scanning some of the comments here to see if there's, okay, user 2427 asking, is Austin the best third option in Lakers history? That's a good question. So third options, you would have, James Worthy. I think James Worthy is it. I don't think Austin, compared to his peers, is as good as James Worthy was compared to his peers. James Worthy, future Hall of Famer, Finals MVP. That's the answer there. From there, I think Austin is in that conversation with LO. LO was one of six man of the year. The basketball that the Lakers would play when it was LO and Powell on the court with Kobe was incredible. The passing that you saw on the front court between LO and Powell was just so much fun to watch. That's actually a fun team to think about how they would fit in the modern era of basketball as we return to size mattering a little bit. But that was, I would say Austin is in that conversation with LO, but I don't think he's up there with James Worthy right now. Doesn't mean, can Austin get to Hall of Fame level? I don't think he can, We'll see. Maybe he plays on an Olympic team. Maybe the Lakers win a couple championships. Maybe he's an all-star. Then I would say he has a chance at it, but still, like, James Worthy is big game James, man. I would is a long way to go for Austin, and I like Austin a bunch, but it's a long way to go for him to be in that James Worthy type conversation. Let's go here. FYI, the Suns are the worst team I've ever seen. Yep, I would agree. Not the worst team, but they are the greatest underachievers in, I think, basketball history. All right, let's go with... I don't know who... Which comment you're talking about here, Benoit. I don't know who you're talking about. All right. Yeah, Vegas Dev, just like Max Christie, all of a sudden became this super exciting young player when, again, I've been telling people about that for a long time. Let's see. Bashir. Ideal route you think the team should take this offseason? What position should be traded for and what should be sought after in free agency? Well, first and foremost, they do need to at least bolster the depth chart at center, where there isn't such a steep decline in ability from the center spot. And ideally, you upgrade at center and Jackson becomes your center depth. That would be great. I'm really curious what Jackson's market is going to be after this season, to where, like, he is playing legitimately good basketball now. And I'm kind of curious how many teams are going to pursue Jackson, knowing how much easier life is made for him by Luka, by LeBron, by Austin. So if you can get a better center than Jackson, and Jackson becomes your center depth, that'd be great. The other thing I've been thinking a lot about, and I'm really curious how it's going to go, the Luka-Austin backcourt in the postseason. The Lakers have consistently really struggled with smaller, quicker point guards who can score at all three levels, get to the rim, mid-range, and then obviously from behind the line. And I kind of wonder if it's worth pursuing a player who is better than Austin. And it's that list is getting shorter, by the way, so that's kind of tricky, obviously. But a player who is maybe a little bit better than Austin, who would therefore move Austin into a six-man role that I think he would absolutely kill it in. And he's been fantastic as a starter this year too, by the way, just to be absolutely clear. But I do kind of wonder if the Lakers, you know, after you figure out the center spot, maybe you bolster your wing rotation, you move Vando for somebody who you can more confidently play. Although Vando's contract is not going to be very highly sought after this season. So, or this offseason. But I do kind of wonder if you can go out and get somebody who moves Austin to a six-man role, not by way of, you know, convincing yourself that's where Austin should be, but by literally going out and getting a player better than Austin at that point guard spot, and then kind of going from there. The problem is, I just don't know if that player is available. And if I don't think, like, given how great Luka and Austin have been, even in the short amount of time together, given how great they have looked, I don't think it's worth it for you to use resources on that. Like, I think going out, solidifying your wing rotation, going out, getting a better center, those I think are the two top things that you got to do. And then if you have some extra resources there, maybe you take a look at your guard depth. But I am kind of curious, like, if you could get peak Caruso and put him next to Luka, so you have better point of attack defense and a point of attack defender who can actually fit with Austin too, then now you're really cooking with lighter fluid. And that guard rotation is damn near perfect. But the problem is, short of Karnisovas losing his mind again and trading Caruso for Josh Giddey, which again, the trade looks a little bit better now, blah, 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 blah. But it's going to be very difficult to find that player. So I think the top priority is going to be the center spot, and then you kind of go from there. All right. Can we steal Triple J? Asks, I don't know if it's Jan. I'm guessing it's Jan. But the getting Triple J, I do think that the Grizzlies are about to blow it up. And I don't think that features moving Triple J quite yet. I think they'll trade Ja Morant and just have Dez Bain be their starting point guard. And then, you know, maybe you get like a better shooting guard or a better wing. The thing is, Ja, Desmond Bain, Triple J, they're all nice players, but none of them are good enough for the Grizzlies to be as good as I think they think they're supposed to be. I think they all fall about 5 to 10% short of where they need to be. And that's their problem. It's not a Jenkins thing. It's not a depth thing. It's not a front office thing. It's a star thing. I think Ja Morant is a lot more fun than he is impactful. I think Desmond Bain, if he was just handed the reins as a starting point guard and you use Ja Morant to supplement the talent around Desmond Bain and Jaren Jackson Jr., that roster would make a lot more sense. But it is also a tough call because that city loves Ja Morant. So we'll see kind of how that goes. But can they steal Triple J? I don't think he'll be available this summer. I think first thing they would look to do is trade Ja. And then if that doesn't work, then they blow it up. And then they try to improve via the draft. And then at that point, then you could probably, you know, maybe you can maybe go out and get Jaren Jackson Jr. But I like Jaren. He's just so dumb with his fouls, though. It's really hard to look past that. All right. That is, I think that's going to do it here for this nice, long Sunday night episode of The Lounge. I'm going to break this up, and then, like I said earlier, I'll narrate that piece that I wrote for Clutch Points, and that'll be for your lowdown tomorrow. We'll also do a little bit of previewing the game tomorrow night against Houston. Well, second night of a back-to-back, fortunately, for the Lakers. Now, unfortunately for the Lakers, Houston hasn't had to care about this game against Phoenix for all of it, so they'll be nice and rested. But, yeah, we'll go ahead and preview that a little bit, narrate that piece that I wrote for Clutch Points, and send you guys off into the week. So until then, until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin saying have a great rest of your evening, make somebody else's, and I'll talk to you in a little bit.
Bye, everyone.